1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The gospel, what is it? What does the Bible mean by the word gospel? So, in short, the gospel is actually the message, the record that God gave of His Son. His Son, the sinless Son of God, came and ultimately He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and raised again from the dead. So, the record that God gave of His Son, 1 John 5:10, is the death, burial, and resurrection by which we are saved. We are justified in the eyes of a holy God. That is what the gospel is. And interestingly, the word gospel appears 104 times, all in the New Testament canon. The word gospel appears 104 times. Now, do we begin to understand the gospel and what it is, we should ask? And right off the bat, I'd like to say, I want to share with you that many call the book of Romans the ABCs of the Christian faith, and for good reason. And may the listener become intrigued by that and to read the contents of the book of Romans thoroughly and perhaps repeatedly. Read through the book of Romans 3 times or 5 times. Notice Romans 1:16 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "For I am not ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." There it is. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that is, believeth the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, not only initially, but all the way to the end of your life. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel of Jesus Christ from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, those that are justified by the Lord, shall live by faith. Not just one time. Now, that's where it begins, when someone, a sinner, repents and trusts Christ completely, receives Him, John 1:12. But they live by faith. Jesus said you have to endure to the end. And how do you do that? Well, you live by faith all the way into eternal glory. The just shall live by faith. Seems like the eternal securist have missed this, and quite frankly, it's intentional, because they want no personal responsibility after initial salvation, and their false teachers have peddled this very lie that says you can just have an initial moment of faith and somehow you're going to go to heaven even if you die in sin, which is absolutely false. Now, notice the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, speaking of faith, that it's impossible to please God without faith. And right before that, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the Bible says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And he's speaking about living by faith. In fact, in verse 38, we see it again. Now the just shall live by faith. Now, is that not what we just read in Romans 1:16 and 17? Yes, it sure is. One is only justified by the Lord as he is living by faith in the Lord. Hebrews 10:38 says, if any man draw back or does not continue in faith, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back, who, that is, that would be to stop living by faith in God. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So inherent in receiving the gospel is also to continue in the gospel and to live by faith. the just shall live by faith. Now again, Romans 11:6 says, but without faith, it's an essential. It is impossible to please him. Think about that. It's impossible to please God without faith. And if you're living by faith, you are not living in sin. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So living by faith involves diligently seeking the Lord. Now we're talking about and exploring from a foundational perspective, biblical perspective, what the gospel is. What is the gospel? Again, it appears the word gospel 104 times in the Bible. And the blessed word gospel means the good news, simply means the good news. And the first of that 104 times we see the word gospel appear in the New Testament scriptures, it came out of the mouth of the one who is the gospel, Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom means domain of the King, King Jesus, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 4:23. And why is the gospel good news, saints? Well, it's good news because of the bad news. Fallen man is separated from God, who is holy, holy, holy. That's the bad news. Our separation from God. And this happened in the Garden of Eden when the first man and woman, mankind, sinned against God. See Romans 5. And they were separated out of the presence of God. That's called spiritual death. Death always means separation. The Lord, saints, is holy, holy, holy. And he cannot have a relationship or any fellowship with any person or being whom he does not make holy by washing them from their sins when they repent and put their trust, their faith in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy is something we see in the Old and New Testament, Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. And this must be a cornerstone component of truth in every true disciple's heart and life. When you understand that God is holy, 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 you understand he cannot have fellowship with someone who is not holy. And the way we're made holy is by him when we repent and put our faith in Christ. And we live by faith thereafter. See also Psalms 5:4 and Habakkuk the prophet, Habakkuk 1:13, where we see God will not have any kind of relationship with someone who does not allow him to make them holy. And that's where faith comes in. God has set up his kingdom whereby our faith appropriates his grace for salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, it is by faith that we are justified. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's our part, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2. We have faith in his blood, the scripture says. In Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth, that is the Son of God, to be a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, that's God's righteousness through Christ, for the remission of sins that are past, not automatically the future ones. You got to live by faith for that to happen. So notice, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's a salvific, a biblical word of great importance. It means atoning sacrifice, which Christ alone provided. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Do you have faith in the blood of Jesus, my friend, which washes away all sins? to declare his righteousness, not ours, but his, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's Romans 3:25. And more of a proof that we need to get into the book of Romans and understand the gospel to know what we believe and why we believe it from the Bible. That is to understand what salvation is. Because all we, Isaiah 53:6, like sheep, that is, sheep that leave their shepherd, all we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep are naturally creatures that wander. That's the picture here, it seems. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've done things our own way. And some of us right now are still self-willed and we're still doing things our own way. And the good news is that by faith we can repent afresh, be washed and refreshed by the Lord, Acts 3:19. And we can cry out to God to help us to be crucified with Christ and to be those who say with Jesus when he was on earth, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Break me, Lord. Cleanse the iniquity of my heart all the way to the core of my being and bring me to a place of absolute trust and dependence upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, every one of us, to his own way, doing things our own way instead of God's way. And that's why we have a Bible, to know God's will. The Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Christ, the iniquity of us all. This is the picture of Leviticus chapter 17, where the priest of God would lay hands on the goat of departure. We call him the scapegoat, and would confess the sins of the people, and then that scapegoat would be sent off into the wilderness. That was a picture of what Christ later and now has come and done. He has taken away the sins of the world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin or sin debt of the world. He has carried them away as that scapegoat did in Leviticus 17. Carries away the sins of the people, away, separating them from sin and unto the Lord. So Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians 5:9, God was in Christ, reconciling or bringing back the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So John the Baptist declared when he saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came to take away our sins, friends, so that we can have fellowship with him and the Father, which is what we read in 1 John 1:3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So our Heavenly Father has reconciled us or brought us back to himself out of sin, out of a life of sin, exclusively through Christ, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now again, to appreciate and appropriate the good news of Jesus Christ, where we can be forgiven completely, we have to understand the bad news first. So with the good news, it's juxtapositioned, if you will, with the bad news. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 23. And how have we sinned? Well, we've had other gods before us, right? Other gods before him, the one true God. The Ten Commandments says, and that's where we go to. No need to go any further. The first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And what have we done? Well, we've all gone our own way, as we just read in Isaiah 53:6. Everyone, we've gone astray, turned everyone to our own way and away from God. So we've been idolaters. We've committed spiritual adultery. We haven't had God first in our lives. And the good news is that Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added to you. And let me just say this on a personal basis and as a testimony to you, that my life did not become good. I did not become happy, if you will, joyful, at peace with God, or have the love of God in my heart until I turned to the Lord in repentance and put my faith in Christ. It's not till you do that, repenting and putting God first, that you're going to be right. You're going to be full of shame, full of guilt, and never be happy. The Bible does use the word happy. Now, we have to understand that in the biblical context. Happy is the man who is the Lord's and whom the Lord chastens. So you can look up the word happy in the Bible, and I'm just talking about being content. The word happy appears 28 times in the Bible. And again, as you read the context, you're going to see that it's only those who fear God and put Him first that are going to have a contentment of heart and life. It doesn't matter what else you obtain in this fallen world. You're never going to be right. You're never going to be happy without knowing Christ and Him knowing you most of all. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first, not second, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. All the blessings of God will be added unto you because you will be washed by the blood of Christ, and you will now be God's child. Amen. The second commandment, you shall not make unto yourselves what? Any graven image of anything in heaven or in earth, and you shall not bow down to them. This is the Ten Commandments, as you can read in Exodus 20, just begin in verse 1. Also, speaking of our sin, we have done what? The third commandment, you shall not take, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, how many of us have not done that? How about zero, right? We're all guilty. And God just asked us to be honest and to go to Him in repentance and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. And I want to be forgiven. I want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. I want to be your child, O God. Take me, O God. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and raised again from the dead. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. More of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, right? Have we all, have any of us done that perfectly? No, not one of us. Thou shalt not kill. The Bible says if you hate in your heart, you are a murderer in the book of 1 John. We've all been murderers. We haven't forgiven others, etc. How about thou shalt not commit adultery? Jesus said, Matthew 5:28, if you've looked on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery. We've all done this. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. So this brings home our sin, the law. And we've all sinned. Again, Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then it says in verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's clear that we have sinned against God. And as sinners, we are absolutely in utter need of the mercy, the salvation, the justification of God, which He provided exclusively through the blood of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And what brings us to Christ is the law that exposes us for the sinners that we are. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, that's the words of God also, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 19, 7 and 8. The scripture also says in Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, that is, faith in Christ. So that's what the law is there for, to bring us to Christ. The law is the bad news. It reveals just how wicked we are. Every one of us have gone astray. And the good news is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the Son of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. So we're talking about the gospel, the good news, that God didn't just say, I'm done with mankind, it's over, I'm eradicating all men, I'm tired of these sinners. No, he said, I will come and die for them. Jesus came and died for us rather than live without us. The unfathomable love of God was openly manifested to us at the cross of Jesus Christ, who died to take away our sins, the sins that separate us from a holy God. That, my friends, is the gospel, the good news. You know, here in Mexico, I'm able to tell people now in Spanish as I minister to lost sinners, and I give them the Jesus track. And one of the things I tell them is that Jesus came and died for our sins. I tell them that in Spanish, and also that they can have new life in Christ. A new life can only come by Christ. He alone can change us by saving, by redeeming us. When he makes us his new creatures, where old things are passed away and all things become new, because we are now regenerated, the scripture says. In Titus 3, as we come in for a close here, friends, simple message about the great news, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's good because we've all violated the law of a holy God. We are utterly guilty, and God has been so very merciful to us. Notice Titus 3:5-7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Titus 3:5-7. So before we pray together, I want to encourage you to read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians 15. That's a great place to begin, where the gospel is actually defined as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes the following. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, there it is, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. That's your position before the Lord. You stand in the gospel of Christ, justified by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if, conditional, ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So again here, we see this throughout Scripture. When God saves you, when you repent and receive Christ, God holds you accountable to continue in Christ, to endure to the end to be saved. Otherwise, you forfeit all. It doesn't matter who teaches otherwise. They're teaching another gospel and they're a false teacher if they teach that you are once saved, always saved, or unconditionally, eternally secured. That is a lie from hell. And that's the first lie Satan told to the man and the woman, which caused them to fall. If you're sitting under a man that is teaching eternal security, I want to encourage you and exhort you as a brother in Christ to run for your life. And you owe no man an explanation for that. Let God be true and every man a liar. And that's why God gave us his word in tangible form, the Bible, the canon of Holy Scripture, King James Bible, so that we're not deceived by the many false prophets he foretold would come on the scene in the last hour before he returns and would deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul then says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So we see the death, burial, and resurrection here, where Paul is saying that he's declaring unto us the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I want you to read that passage, pore over it prayerfully, listening with your heart and mind intently, and understand that the gospel is the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by which we are redeemed. And we have that good news of Jesus Christ and his blessed gospel as an answer to our sin from God. The only divine solution, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now that Jesus has come and shed his precious, perfect, divine blood on the altar of the cross, was buried and raised again from the dead, you and I can be justified in the eyes of a holy God and brought into his kingdom by himself through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news is Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection that justifies us as we put our trust in him. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we desire to know you more, to love you more. And we do right this moment afresh thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die for us, to redeem us, Lord, while we were yet sinners. Oh, what unfathomable love. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray with John the Baptist. Lord, you must increase, but we must decrease. And we ask you to increase our understanding of the basic truth of your blessed, original, and glorious gospel. Teach us thy ways, O God, and unite our hearts to fear thy name as we look for your soon return. Lord, we ask you to fill us with the Holy Ghost and use us mightily to help others be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.